Well, good morning. It is once again a pleasure to be joined together today. If this is your first time with us, we are excited that you're here. We are so happy to have you here with us at Hope Valley Church. Today we're going to be in Psalm 100. If you have a Bible, you can turn there. If not, there's Bibles on the chairs around you. Psalms is right in the middle of that, and we're in Psalm 100 today. Last week, we finished our study through the book of 1 Peter. We had started there on September 12th, which was the official first Sunday of Hope Valley Church, and we walked through that book. And today, we're taking just this week of as we look at our heart of gratitude, as we look at thankfulness, as we celebrate Thanksgiving this week. And then we look forward to next week, we will start our Advent series as we are looking towards Christmas, as we celebrate that Christmas season. But today we're looking in the Psalms. I think there's not a better place that we could be in Scripture to see the heart of thankfulness that we are taught through the Bible, right? What's so beautiful in that what we have in the book of Psalms is we have Scripture that speaks for us. The Psalms speak for us. They're a voice for us. So let's read this together. Psalm 100, verse 1 says, "Let the whole earth shout triumphantly to the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his faithful love endures forever. His faithfulness through all generations." What a beautiful offering of praise to God. What we see here as we're looking at this particular psalm is it follows Psalms 96 through 99, which are all a proclamation of Yahweh, of that Yahweh is this covenant name of God the Father. It's this proclamation that we see in these four psalms preceding of Yahweh's kingship, that he is king, that he is Lord. And that Psalm 100 serves as a conclusion, like a hymn that's concluding this group of psalms here. And as we see, we talked about this maybe back in August, but we see this again here. We see this word Lord that is used. And it's used in this way where there's a capital L and then the other letters are small but still capital. And that is often how our English translations depict that this word Yahweh was used. Once again, that it's a covenant name of God, this very special name here. And from this psalm, we'll see a few things today. But the first thing I want us to grab hold of is that all people from all places are invited to worship God. Look at verse 1. It says, "Let the whole earth shout triumphantly to the Lord." So in the Old Testament, the Jews were God's chosen people, the nation of Israel. But here the psalmist makes it clear, the whole earth can shout. The whole earth can praise God. This verse is clearly saying here that the Gentiles, which is the people who were not Jews, are invited to worship God. We see this in Isaiah 56, verses 6 and 7. It says, "As for the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to become his servants, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it and who hold firmly to my covenant, I will bring them to my holy mountain and let them rejoice in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be acceptable on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations." Here it's very clear that foreigners who follow the law as Jews were required would be welcomed worshipers of God. But for us, we also know that the coming of Jesus, the Messiah, certainly makes this all the more clear. This invitation that to come before God and worship is for all people. It's not for just one specific people group. We see this a few places in the New Testament. We see Romans chapter 10, verses 11 and 12. It says, "For the scripture says, everyone who believes on him will not be put to shame, since there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, because the same Lord of all richly blesses all who call on his name." There's no distinction between Jew and Greek. There's no separateness in that. That anyone who comes before God, the next, very next verse here says, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That all people have been given access to God, able to come before God and worship. It says another way, Colossians chapter 3, verse 11, it says, "In Christ there is not Greek and Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free, but Christ is all and in all." And as we think about being thankful, as we celebrate Thanksgiving, the greatest way that we can come before God with thankfulness is understanding the power of Christ, understanding the goodness of God in our salvation, and understanding that that is a gift and an opportunity for all people to trust in Jesus and be saved, to place faith in him. The phrase here, "shout triumphantly," in a lot of translations, it's translated to "make a joyful noise." And a lot of times when we hear that phrase, "make a joyful noise," it's used towards people like me, okay? It's used towards people who you don't want to stand up here with a microphone and sing. There's a reason they only let me talk, okay? Because it would be terrible. It's like monotone, have no sense of any of it. It would just be a disaster, right? And we often hear it used that way. Oh, if you don't sing pretty, just make a joyful noise to the Lord. All right, but that's not quite what it's meaning here. That is true that we all sing before him. Just try not to stand next to me while I'm singing. But this phrase means so much more. It means it for here in these people. It's a shout of fanfare towards the king. Okay, if you imagine if we were in the UK and we are out in a street and the Queen of England is going to be passing by, you can imagine the crowds and the excitement and the opportunity to see the monarch, right? And this obsession, right, with the royal family and the tabloids and all these things, and how big of a deal that is. For the people here to say, "shout triumphantly to the Lord," or to make a joyful noise to the Lord, is saying, we're declaring, we're standing up saying, this is our King. We are seeing the King. Psalm 98, verse 6, which is one of those psalms just right before this one, it said, "With trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn, shout triumphantly in the presence of the Lord our King." Okay, when you bring out the ram's horn, it seems like a big deal, right? This isn't some just little meek singing. This is a big deal. And it's for the whole earth. We can come and we can declare that he is Lord and that he is King. And we're going to see more about that. We're going to see about more in this psalm about how we approach God in worship, how we give thanks to him. And the first way I want us to see that is that in worship, we approach God with thanksgiving. And we're going to look specifically at verses 2 and 4, okay? And verse 2, it says, "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs." Verse 4 says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name." So we see several things here. First, we see in verse 2 is gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. This heart of gladness, okay? There is much we can be glad for, but to make that our heart, gladness. And then it adds on with, come before him with joyful songs. A heart that is glad, a heart that is joyful, is not necessarily a heart that is always experiencing what we want to experience, right? As we went through 1 Peter, we saw this topic that came up a lot, And it was this topic that Christians will suffer, but that in our suffering, we can praise God. In our suffering, we can be obedient and we can glorify Him. Okay, and Peter always reminded us that our hope is set on Jesus, and that we have a future inheritance, that we look forward to this future glory that we won't experience the fullness of while we're here on earth, but that when we enter into heaven with our Lord. And as we think in those ways, we understand that our gladness is not tied to whatever the circumstance of today is, okay? That our joyful songs might come, the joyful song might be sung through tears, but that we can, with our Lord, still come before Him, as verse 4 says, we can enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. We can give thanks to Him. We can bless His name in all times, in all circumstances. And that's because, well, we'll see in a minute more, but that's because of who He is. And that's because of what He has done. That we can come before Him those ways because we are truly blessed. We are truly the benefit of God's great love and great mercy, no matter what's going on in the moment. As we think about those things, they set the tone for our meetings together as the church. When we gather like this, it's a tone of coming before God in worship and in thankfulness, with gladness and joyful songs because of who God is. Because as a Christian, I can sit here and I can say that I was once dead. I was once a slave to sin with no way out. But God, through His Son Jesus, made a way for my sins to be forgiven, for me to have new life, for me to have, as Peter said, a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And because of that, my heart overflows with gladness. Because of that, I can sing joyfully to the Lord. You can imagine with me the life of someone who has been miraculously saved from death. Someone who maybe had a very near-death experience or just was felt like they were going to die or pretty much did, but then their life was spared. And we can think about that in a lot of different ways, but when you encounter that, when you experience that, or you're a person who has been changed by that, it is truly transformational, right? Of experiencing this and knowing what could have been in that situation, right? And this gladness that you experienced this life-saving miracle, that your life was spared. But the life of anyone who has been saved through faith alone in Christ alone is an exponentially greater testimony than any near-death experience here on earth. That we who deserve nothing, who went against God, have an opportunity to be called His sons and daughters is truly amazing. And our worship goes much further than just what we can do when we gather as the church, though. It also is understanding that as Christians, we worship in every part of our lives. The daily act of being thankful to God is worship. When we focus intently on God and the fact that He loved us so much that Jesus left His eternal throne in heaven to come to earth so that He could die as a sinless sacrifice for our sins, man, when we meditate on that, when we dwell on that truth, then we'll be able to give thanks in all of the circumstances. We'll be able to give thanks on our best of days and our worst of days here on earth because we have a hope. There's a reason we're called Hope Valley Church, and that is because we want this valley to be known and transformed by the living hope that is only found in faith alone, in Christ alone, that is only found through worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. What an amazing gift that is. And as we come together today, as we think about Thanksgiving this week, there are so many ways that we can, we've all kind of sat around and had the, okay, talk about what we're thankful for things, and that's good. It's never bad to talk about gratitude, right? It's never bad to say, you know, to kind of pry out of ourselves the things in our lives that we are thankful for. Regardless of what that is, that is a good. That is of God. It's of God to be grateful in hearts. But what we see in this psalm is that there's some specific things we need to focus our gratitude on. And I think as we do that, that heightens our life and our attitude and heart in all other ways of gratitude. And so in this, we see that in worship, we celebrate who God is and what he has done. We're going to look at verses 3 and 5. Verse 3 says, "Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, and we are his sheep, his people, the sheep of his pasture." And then verse 5 says, "For the Lord is good, and his faithful love endures forever." His faithfulness through all generations. The first thing it says here, verse 3, acknowledge that the Lord is God. Acknowledge that Yahweh is God. Apart from anything God has done, he is worthy and deserving of our worship because he is God. Now, there's so much more that we know about God, but he is God. He is God who, as it says right there in verse 3, he made us. He made us. He created everything that's ever existed. He's infinite. He's eternal. Genesis 1:27 talks about our creation. It says, "So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them, male and female." The Lord is God. That alone deserves our worship. The Lord created us. He made us. We would not exist apart from God. None of anything around us would exist apart from God. The next thing we see there is that in verse 5, his love is faithful. His love is faithful. Not only is he God, not only did he create us, but he chose to love us. And that his love is faithful. His love doesn't change, right? So even we can think about the purest form of love that we have for another person. And it can be like the love of a parent to a child that is very pure and loves that child through all circumstances. But man, there's still going to be some variation in that love. There's still going to be some times where it's hard to express that love. And but what we see right here, it says his love is faithful. It says his love endures forever. It's a faithful love. A lot of translations call this a steadfast love. I love that word, steadfast. It's solid. It's unchanging. It's not going to be shaken. That's the kind of love that God has for us. That's the kind of love that God shows to us. And we give thanks because of that. We celebrate God because he's God, but then we also because of these things he's done, because he has shown us his love, because he's made his love faithful and enduring, and because his love is through all generations, that every human who has been created has been loved by God. It's enduring. And man, as I think about these things, I can think about a lot of times in my journey of following Jesus where it felt easier to stop and give thanks to God, right? Times where it felt more at the tip of my heart, and more of overflowing. And I can think of other times where I had to remind myself and I had to discipline myself to come before God and to be in His Word, the Bible, and to be spending time in prayer and to be fellowshipping with other believers in Christ so that in those things my heart was being drawn and reminded of God's faithfulness. We sang that song, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." His faithfulness is a steadfast anchor. It is unchanging. And in a world that is constantly changing, we can sit and give thanks for an unchanging God. What an amazing thing that is. What an amazing offer that is, an invitation that is to a lost world around us. We can sit with a neighbor, or a family member, or a friend, or a coworker, or a classmate, and say, man, there's all this uncertainty in the world around us. There's all of these things that could cause you to lose hope. But let me tell you the story of a God who has never changed. Of a God who is sovereign and in control over all of this. And a God who loved you so much that even when you fell into sin, and as Romans 3:23 says, that sin caused you to fall short of God's glory, that God made a free gift through Jesus Christ. That through that you can find forgiveness. Through that you can find life and hope and eternity with your Lord. And our thankfulness overflows out of that gospel truth, out of the truth of who God is and what He has done. And this morning, as we prepare to enter the last part of our worship gathering, as we'll sing another song, as we'll pray together, I want us to just remember those truths. I want us to thank God in our worship. And I want to speak to us because I always believe there's someone hearing this, whether you're sitting in the room right now, whether you're listening to it a year from now online, that there's some of us who have yet to follow Jesus by faith, who have yet to acknowledge that our sins have separated us from God and that the only way for us to be brought back into relationship with God is by placing faith in Jesus. By asking Jesus to forgive us of our sins, to make us new. And if that is you, if you have not done that, then I invite you today to that. You can come speak to me anytime. You can call. You can reach out. There's other people here that we would love to talk more. We would love to walk beside you in that. For those of us who have been saved by faith in Jesus, the first thing I invite us to do is to give thanks. As the song starts here in just a minute, first I'd love for just to take a moment, however that is for you, but before standing and singing or before moving to the table here, by just to pray to God, to thank Him for being God, to thank Him for making you, for calling you His own, and for His faithful love that endures forever. To just sit and to give thanks to Him. And then, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, if you've been saved by faith, the second way we invite you to give thanks is by participating in the Lord's Supper. The bread and the juice are in the table here. You can take that to your seat. You can pray together. I encourage you, if you're with a family, pray together as a family. And give thanks to God for the sacrifice that we experienced through what happened on the cross. That we saw that Jesus' body was broken and beaten, that His blood was poured out, and that was all to pay the penalty for our sins. In Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 through 28, it says, "As they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take and eat it. This is my body.' Then He took a cup, and after giving thanks, He gave it to them and said, 'Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, if you've been saved by faith, we invite you to participate. If you have not yet trusted in Jesus for salvation, then that is not for you, and that's okay. But today we worship, we give thanks. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, Lord, thank you for leaving heaven to come to live here on earth. Lord, for facing temptation, pain, and suffering, for dying a painful sinner's death on a cross so that anyone who trusts in you's sins might be forgiven. Lord, thank you for that incredible gift. Lord Jesus, we worship you. Lord, we celebrate your faithfulness. Lord, we pray that in all circumstances, whatever this week holds, which we do not know what it will hold, that we will be reminded of your faithful love. Lord, that we will be transformed by what you have done in us and through us. Lord, that your Spirit who dwells inside of us will go with us and guide us. Lord, that you will be glorified this week. Lord, that we will be a light to you this week. And Lord, I pray for anyone who hears this, anyone who's with us here, who has not yet trusted by faith alone in Christ alone. Lord, that they will see their sins and that they are separated from you. And Lord, that they will trust in you for the forgiveness of those sins. Lord, that you will make them new. Lord, you are faithful to do that. Lord, I pray that they will see the need and call upon you for salvation. Lord, we love you. We praise you, and I thank you for the opportunity we have to gather and worship you today. It's in Jesus' holy, magnificent name we pray. Amen.